Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narcheries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Longevity Nation, The People, Ideas, and Trends Changing the Second Half of Our Lives, is a nonfiction guide to the new longevity movement by Michael Clinton, a former Hearst Magazine's executive, founder of Roar Forward, and author focused on midlife reinvention. Written for readers around 40 and older, the book examines what longer lives mean for health, work, education, money, relationships, and public institutions. Its central purpose is not to promise immortality or sell a narrow anti-aging program, but to show how extended lifespans are already reshaping ordinary choices and large systems. Clinton draws on expert interviews, global examples, and current research in areas such as functional health, financial security, lifelong learning, workplace design, medicine, and community planning. The book is best understood as a practical social analysis of aging, health span, and reinvention, arguing that the second half of life should be planned as an active, flexible, and purposeful stage rather than treated as a long decline after retirement. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the 100-year life requires a new map for health, money, work, and learning. A central idea in Longevity Nation is that longer lives make older assumptions about adulthood incomplete. The traditional sequence of education, career, retirement, and decline was built for shorter lifespans and more predictable work patterns. Clinton uses the idea of a new map of life, associated with research from the Stanford Center on Longevity, to show why longevity must be planned across several connected domains rather than treated as a medical issue alone. Functional health, financial security, social connection, and lifelong learning become interdependent because weakness in one area can limit the value of gains in another. For example, living longer without enough savings can create dependence, while strong finances without mobility, purpose, or community can still produce poor quality of life. The book, therefore, frames longevity as a design problem. Individuals need to adjust habits and expectations, but employers, universities, healthcare systems, cities, and governments also need to reconsider how they serve people who may remain active into their 70s, 80s, or beyond. This systemic lens differentiates the book from narrower wellness titles. Secondly, midlife reinvention is treated as a practical skill, not a personal crisis. Clinton gives particular attention to the middle years because they are no longer simply a bridge between career building and retirement. If a healthy 50-year-old may have several decades ahead, midlife becomes a period for redesigning work, identity, relationships, and contribution. The book uses the concept of reimagineers to describe people who actively reshape the second half of life, rather than waiting for institutions to define it for them. This theme is practical because it connects reinvention to specific tools such as continuing education, certificate programs, executive learning, career transitions, portfolio work, and renewed purpose. The point is not that everyone must make dramatic changes, but that longer lives make adaptation necessary. Skills can become outdated, industries can change, and personal priorities can shift. Education, therefore, functions as more than enrichment. It becomes infrastructure for extended employability and cognitive engagement. Clinton also broadens the meaning of productive life by recognizing second acts, entrepreneurship, mentoring, caregiving, and civic participation. Reinvention is presented as a disciplined response to longevity, not as a vague inspirational slogan. Thirdly, health span depends on ordinary behaviors before advanced medicine enters the picture. Although Longevity Nation discusses emerging medical technologies, it repeatedly grounds healthy aging in behaviors that are already accessible to many readers. Movement is presented as a foundational longevity practice, with emphasis on aerobic activity and strength training because mobility, muscle, balance, and cardiovascular health strongly influence independence in later life. This focus is important because lifespan without physical capacity can increase years lived with frailty rather than years of meaningful activity. Clinton also addresses sleep, stress management, and breathing practices as part of the same health span framework. These habits matter because chronic sleep disruption and unmanaged stress can affect immune function, cognition, metabolism, and overall resilience. The book does not reduce longevity to individual discipline, but it does argue that daily practices compound over decades. Its reasoning is preventive, rather than reactive waiting until serious decline appears, gives people fewer options. By combining exercise, recovery, stress reduction, and early attention to risk factors, Clinton places personal agency at the center while avoiding the claim that lifestyle can control every outcome. Fourthly, new longevity medicine offers promise but demands caution about side effects and access. The book includes a forward-looking discussion of medicine, diagnostics, and technology that are changing the prospects for healthier aging. Clinton addresses developments such as GLP-1 medications for obesity and related conditions, AI-supported imaging, continuous health data, personalized therapeutics, and preventive approaches to cardiovascular and metabolic risk. These examples matter because they show a shift from treating late-stage disease toward identifying risks earlier and tailoring interventions more precisely. At the same time, Longevity Nation does not present new medicine as a simple cure for aging. GLP-1 drugs, for instance, may improve weight and cardiometabolic health for many patients, but concerns such as muscle loss, frailty risk, cost, access, and physical changes require careful medical oversight. The broader implication is that longevity innovation will benefit people unevenly unless affordability, evidence, and responsible clinical use keep pace with enthusiasm. Clinton positions technology as a tool that can extend health span when combined with prevention and professional guidance. This balanced treatment helps the book avoid becoming either anti-science or uncritical biohacking. Lastly, longer lives require age-friendly workplaces, cities, and financial systems. Longevity Nation extends beyond personal health to examine the environments that make longer, healthier lives possible. Clinton looks at how workplaces can retain and support older employees, how cities can become easier to navigate across generations, and how financial planning must adjust to the possibility of a much longer second half. The workforce examples are important because chronological age often hides wide variation in ability, ambition, and experience. Policies that support older workers, flexible careers, reskilling, and multi-generational teams can turn longevity from a burden into an economic resource. The same logic applies to housing and urban planning. Age-friendly neighborhoods, accessible transportation, social services, fitness opportunities, and preventive healthcare access can reduce isolation and help people remain independent. Financial longevity literacy is another pillar because a longer life can stretch savings, insurance, retirement products, and family resources. Clinton encourages readers to think beyond a fixed retirement date and toward adaptable planning. The book, therefore, treats longevity as a social design challenge that requires both personal preparation and institutional modernization. In conclusion, Longevity Nation is most useful for readers in midlife and beyond who want a broad, realistic framework for thinking about the decades ahead. It will also interest professionals in healthcare, education, finance, workplace strategy, urban planning, and aging policy because it links private choices with institutional change. The practical benefit is that the book helps readers identify the main areas that require preparation, movement and strength, sleep and stress, career adaptability, learning, financial planning, social connection, and informed use of medical innovation. Its intellectual benefit is the way it reframes aging as a structural and cultural issue rather than a purely personal decline. Compared with many books in the longevity category, it stands out by avoiding a single solution. It is not only a fitness book, not only a retirement guide, and not only a survey of anti-aging science. Clinton combines health span research, workplace reinvention, education, medicine, and age-friendly design into one map of the second half of life. That breadth can feel expansive, but it is also the reason the book has value. It reflects the real complexity of living longer. Readers seeking a highly technical scientific manual may want more depth elsewhere, but those seeking a practical overview of the longevity movement will find a strong starting point. If you would like to support Michael Clinton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.